Hi, and welcome to Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. My name is Fee Sullivan, Senior Pastor, and I truly want to thank you for joining us today as we study the Word of God. It is our desire that your life be touched today, and we pray that the Lord will speak to you with this message. And at the conclusion of this message, we have some important information for you. Please join me now as we begin our message.
Allow me to go before the throne room of grace. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you and praise you. Lord, we glorify you and magnify you. Lord, I'm asking now, God, that you would give us ears to hear and eyes to see what the Spirit is saying to the church. And we bless you and praise you in Jesus' name, amen, amen. Amen. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to Psalms 25. Psalms 25. And we're going to read verses 4 through 7. And I've entitled this morning's message, Show Us Your Ways, Lord. Show us your ways, Lord. And how many are so blessed to know that God does lead us? He's not only a provider, he's not only a sustainer, he's not only the God that takes care of all of our needs according to his riches and glory, but one of the things that sometimes is overlooked is that he graciously leads us. Every day, when you wake up, when you say, good morning, Lord, he's leading us. He wants to guide us. He wants to show you great and awesome things. You got to remember that God gives us only one day at a time. Yesterday is what? Gone. Tomorrow's not even here. So he gives us one day at a time. So today is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be what? Glad in it. So just know that this is the day that we will rejoice and we will receive from him. Amen. So let's go to our word, Psalms 25, 4 through 7. And the word of God says, Show me your ways, O Lord. Teach me your paths. Let me just pause right there. This is written by King David. We all know King David had a turbulent life. He wasn't the perfect man. And we all know all of his mistakes. We know all of his shortcomings. But one thing that God has given King David, and what I truly believe what God has given us, is a heart after God. And so look at his life and look at our life. Despite of ourselves, despite of King David, God still chose to love him. And he gives us opportunity to get right before him. Isn't that something? Aren't you so blessed that God doesn't stamp you out like a bug? I'm done with you. That's not the God we serve. He's merciful. He's gracious. He leads us. Verse 5, lead me in your truth and teach me. For you are the God of my salvation. On you I wait all the day. Verse 6, remember, O Lord, your tender mercies and your loving kindness, for they are from old. Do not remember the sins of my youth, nor my transgressions according to your mercy. Remember me. Say that with me. Remember me. For your goodness' sake, O Lord. I want you to see this on the board right here. The condition of your heart determines the direction of your life. I want you to catch that. The condition of your heart determines the direction of your life. And this is a very important issue. Why? Because there are really only two directions in life. One direction leads to eternal life, and the other path leads to eternal destruction. King James says eternal damnation. And so there's only two paths. And we can only walk toward the Lord Jesus Christ as believers. Can I get amen? We can't walk the other way. Because those who walk away will walk into eternal death. And God didn't create us for eternal death. Can I get amen?
Amen.
He created you and I for eternal life.
Amen.
And the determining factor is the state of your spirit. Where are you with God? Are you walking with Him? Because if you're walking with Him, you'll hear from Him. You'll even feel His presence. He will rest assured that I'm with you. Because we serve a mighty God. How many believe we serve a mighty God? As we go further, the parable of the prodigal son, the character descriptions could represent each and every one of us. You know that we have characteristics of the prodigal son? Matter of fact, there are many prodigals in here. Can I get amen? Oh yeah, come on. You remember we were out there shaking it with the best of them. We were doing it up with the best of them. We were in and out of rooms. I'm talking bedrooms. Okay, let me just say this. You may not have done that, but you thought of it. Oh, come on, tell the truth. You see, my friends, we could be living a sinful lifestyle like the younger brother or his other brother that was self-righteous. Or how about living like the father with a compassionate heart and a merciful heart? That's the God we serve. And so this story is the last of the three consecutive parables that Jesus spoke to the Pharisees. Why did he speak to the Pharisees? You see, the common people understood it. They got it. But the Pharisees were religious folks. They're the ones with the robes on and the pompous hats. And they should have realized that Jesus, whom the scriptures spoke of, was right before them now. But they denied everything. They didn't want to believe that that was the Christ, the Messiah. And so, all the parables that Jesus spoke to the Pharisees in response to their grumbling against him and for his mercy toward sinners. They hated that. The religious Pharisees hated Jesus because he had mercy on the sinners. How many are so blessed to know that he's had mercy on us? Look what it says in the book of Luke right up here. In Luke 15, 1 through 2. Then all the tax collectors and the sinners drew near to him to hear him. Why? Because Jesus was the only one that had hope. The Pharisees condemned them, sent them to hell already. You guys are worthless. Not according to Jesus. Look at this. And the Pharisees and scribes, they murmured, saying, "This man receives sinners and eats with them." How many so blessed that Jesus came to sit down with you? My goodness. We're going to look at three parables right now. We're going to look at the lost sheep, the lost coin, and the prodigal son. And so, let's go to Luke 15, verses 3 through 7. Look at this. So he spoke this parable to them, saying, "What man of you having 100 sheep, if he loses one of them, does not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after the one which is lost until he finds it? And when he has found it, he lays on it on his shoulders, rejoicing." How many of you can remember the day you got saved? Huh? There was joy unspeakable and full of glory. You know, that was Jesus laying on you, saying, "I love you. You were lost, but now you're found." Praise God. You guys know my testimony. I know yours. And at one time, It was what the Bible calls wicked living. But now, we're living a righteous life before Christ. It's not on our own merit, because there's nothing good in us, but the Bible says that it is the righteousness of Christ that is now upon us. How many are so blessed to know that? It's the righteousness of God. He's the one that proclaims and exalts you and says, you are righteous now before my eyes. And it was through the shedding of his blood. Wow. And look at this. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and neighbors, saying to them, rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. And I say to you that likewise there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 just persons who need no repentance. What does that mean? You know what that means? That means there are people that are self-righteous in this world. They could be friends, family members, acquaintances. Oh, I'm glad you found God. That was good for you. Oh, I'm so glad. But they don't need God. They got it going on. Good job. You know, family's okay. But let me just say this. God one day is going to call for their soul. Oh, yes. Oh, yes, he will. And so, look at this. We're going to look now at the lost coin. We saw the lost sheep. Okay? Now, there was a lost coin. And Jesus explains this in verse 8. Look at this. Or what woman having 10 silver coins, if she loses one coin, does not light a lamp, sweep the house, search carefully until she finds it? Let me just say this. For those of you that have wedding rings, if you lost that ring, you're going to search for that. You might even tear a hole in the couch. But that's something you don't lose. Can I get an amen? You don't lose that. That's just an example of something that's precious. And now you're looking for it. How many have looked for their car keys? Oh, just hit the button. Just hit the button so it'll honk. Well, your keys are with it. Lord have mercy. Look at verse 9 up here. And when she has found it, she calls her friends and neighbors together, saying, rejoice with me, for I have found the peace which I lost. Sister Yolanda can attest, when I lose my car keys, I'm tearing the whole house apart. And then I find it, and I go, I found it. And she tells me it was there the whole time. Likewise, I say to you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. That's how God looks at the sheep. That's how God looks at that coin. Is you? I need you to catch this with your spiritual eyes. We are, say this with me, we are precious to God. We are precious to God. God is describing our spiritual condition is that when he knocks on our door, we open up, we allow him to come sit with us, and we get saved. Did you know from the bowels of heaven, the whole heavens rejoice? There's a party in heaven. Oh, that's right. I know you can't hear it when they rejoice because it's up in the third heaven. What do you mean? Well, the Bible talks about three heavens. Underneath our atmosphere is the first heaven, the air we breathe. And then when you get past the atmosphere, then you have all the galaxies and all the moons and stars and all that. That's the second heaven. And then you know how vast that is. They're trillions and trillions and trillions of miles away from each other. And then above that is the third heaven. That's where God dwells. So just how vast heaven is, how vast God is. We've only gone to the moon. And we're trying to get back there. What, in 24? You're not going to build a Starship Enterprise and get to galaxy. No, it'll never happen. And I believe God doesn't allow it to happen. Or we would be like the Tower of Babel, trying to reach God on our own merit. Wow. Wow. And now we're going to look at this story, the lost son. And as we're reading the scriptures, I'm praying that the Lord will allow you to identify with this son. But there's three characters involved. There's the lost son, the self-righteous brother, and the merciful father. Pick and choose. Which one are you? Listen, when someone comes into this church house and they give their heart to God, this is a time to rejoice. Can I get an amen? You need to weep with them, cry with them, and laugh with them, and rejoice with them. Because they were once lost, and now they're found by God. Well, let me just say this. God already knew where they were. It was God's timing that he would save them that day. So let's look at this. Let's go here. Luke 15, 11 through 32. Let's look at this. Then he said, a certain man had two sons. And the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falls to me. So he divided to them his livelihood. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together, journeyed to a far country, and there wasted his possessions with prodigal living. Okay, this story takes place where in the Jewish culture, there would always be an inheritance from the father to the son. Well, this son couldn't wait till the father passed away. He wanted his goods now. Why? Because he wanted to go do his thing. He didn't want to be under the rules of his father and mother. He wanted to step out and be that person that we call today very rebellious. Let's move on with this story. Look at this. Verse 14. But when he had spent all, there arose a severe famine. I need you to catch this. Rose a severe famine in that land, and he began to be in want. Okay, so he got his inheritance. He went out there living loose, shaking it with the best of them, smoking and drinking it up. Party. He had that riotous life. But look what happened. A famine arose. Then he went and joined himself to a citizen in that country. And he sent him into the fields to feed the swine. And he would gladly have filled his stomach with the pods that the swine ate. And no one gave him anything. If you look at what these swine, these pigs ate, it would gross you out. The stench of that food. I remember I asked someone that farmed, and these things are putrid. It's like going into a dumpster. You ever been in a dumpster and you open the lid and it's putrid in there? Well, they fed on that kind of food because pigs will eat anything. They'll eat anything you give them. They'll even eat you know what, and it doesn't matter. And that's why the Jews don't eat pork, because it's an unclean animal. It's very unclean. But what they were feeding them, these pods, it was putrid and filthy and rotten. It probably had fungus on it. But look how this story continues. In verse 15, he went and joined himself to the citizen of that country, and he sent him into the fields to feed swine. And he would gladly have filled his stomach with anything. Well, look at this. With the pods as a swine ate, and no one give anything. Look at verse 17. But when he came to himself, that is key. I want you to go back. Go back into your life. Go back to you remember when God gave you a mind to be saved and a heart to repent. Because we cannot come to that place by ourselves. God has a tug at it and remind you how good God is. And he came to himself and said, how many of my father's hired servants have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? He says, I will arise and go to my father, will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you, and I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants. Okay, now, God has allowed him to be humbled. I don't see any pride here no more, do you? I think he left Las Vegas already. You see, Las Vegas is a whole lot of glitter, but no glory. Those are false, bright lights. How many would rather have the glory of God shining in you? Oh, yes. Oh, yes. He goes, I will arise and go to my father and say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you, and I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants. He's willing to become a servant now. In his mind, he got all that the Father had promised him. But little did he know the heart of his Father. And many of us still don't realize the Father's heart. How many of you struggle with areas in your life? How many times have you struggled with sin in your life? And yet God still deals with us. God still allows us to get right. He doesn't shove you off a cliff. He doesn't step on you like a cucaracho. He's merciful. He's gracious. He's long-suffering. Long-suffering means he's patient with us. Because he'll allow us to go through some things for a teachable moment. And many of us continually need to be taught by him. This is why it's important to be in Bible study. This is why it's important to open up your Bible. I used to belong to a religion that never opened up their Bible. And until you start opening up your Bible, you'll never know how much God loves you. I shared this story. I feel like sharing this. I'll hit on it briefly. I was about 9 years old in my living room. And we used to have a Bible as big as a suitcase on the coffee table. And all it had on the cover was a bunch of coffee stains. But I opened it up. I wanted to see, well, what's in here? And I saw a giant hand. Bam! And slammed it shut. It was my oldest sister, Liz. I go, why did you do that? She goes, don't read no more. I go, why? She said, God is mad at us. What? I didn't open up another one until the age of 30. I go, why do I want to read about someone that's mad at me? And then when I got saved, I found out how much God loves me. What he did for me, what he did for you. And this is why we need to always go back to this story. Because many of us, till this day, needs His grace and His mercy every day. Until we get delivered from this sinful body, we're always going to fall short. This is why we need a loving God. This is why we need a Savior. This is why we need Jesus. Come on, we need Jesus. Thank you, God. We need Him. We need Him so evermore. Thank you, God. Verse 18, I will arise and go to my father and will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven before you, and I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants. Look at verse 20. And he arose and came to his father, but when he was still a great far away, his father saw him. What is your Bible saying? And had what? Oh, I wrote this down wrong. I wrote down, he saw his son coming. Close the blinds and muzzle the dog. I'm not home. No, it doesn't say that, does it? What does it say? He says, and his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. The father gave him everything that he could give him in advance. But this is the heart of God. You cannot beat God's giving. He loves us so much, it's beyond our comprehension. And the son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and your sight. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. This is a picture of true repentance. This is a person who walked away from God and was in the world sinning. All that person could sin. And when he came to himself, he turned and said, I need to go back to God. I need to go back to my father's home. Amen. And today we find ourselves sitting in heavenly places because that's what he's done for us. He had compassion on us. He was merciful to us. My goodness. He said in verse 21, and the son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Verse 22. But the father said to his servants, close the door and lock it. Don't let them in. No. He said, bring out the best robe and put it on him. Put on a ring on his hand and sandals on his feet, and bring the fatted calf here and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. What? Does that sound like an angry father? That truly wasn't the hand that slammed the Bible when I was 9 years old. It wasn't. Look at verse 24. For this my son was dead and is alive again. You see, he wasn't physically dead. He was spiritually dead. This is why Jesus told Nicodemus, except a man be born again, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. You see, we can have religion all day long, but if you don't have a personal relationship with Jesus, it all means nothing. This is why you need to come alive unto God. And it starts with repentance, meaning, God, I have sinned and you are my Savior. You need to confess that. Tell God how much you love Him. Tell God how much you're so thankful that He didn't allow you to die in your sin. Man, when I got saved at the age of 30, that was a weeping moment for me for several days, because God was just showing me what he saved me from. And then he was showing me every day what he was about to do in my life. Did you know that God has the best plan for your life? Some of you are just here because, you know, it's Sunday, I'm just coming to church. But I believe most of you here is because you love God. And his spirit now dwells in you. How many believe that? For this son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to be merry, meaning the whole household was rejoicing. Now, okay, so now here comes the second character in the story. His older brother. Now his older son was in the field, and he came and drew near to the house. He heard music and dancing. What's going on in there? So he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. What's going on in there? Verse 27. And he said to him, your brother has come, and because he has received him safe and sound, your father has killed a fatted calf. So the son should have been rejoicing. Oh my gosh, I haven't seen my brother in years. But look what rose up in him. But he was angry and would not go in. This is the guy that would have closed the blinds on you and muzzled the dog. Wow. But he was angry. He would not go in. Therefore, his father came out and pleaded with him. You see how the father came out and pleaded with him? He wasn't angry at his self-righteous son. He said, son, I need you to see my heart. See my heart. Don't look at yours, but see my heart. And we can find ourselves in those moments sometimes where we need to put our heart in check. This is why we put our heart in check before we had communion. Look at verse 29. So he answered and said to his father, lo, these many years I have been serving you. I never transgressed your commandment at any time. And yet you never gave me a young goat that I might make merry with my friends. So he was having a pity party. I've been good. How come I didn't get a Hans and Harry cake? Oh, some of you've had some of that here, huh? It's the best. But as soon as this son of yours came, who has devoured your livelihood with harlots, and you killed a fatted calf for him. In other words, he spent all his money on prostitutes. What riotous living, loose living. And the son, the older son, couldn't comprehend that. You know why? Because he never saw his father's heart and being truly revealed until that moment. And you're never going to know until God reveals how good he is to you. When others would say, oh man, that's a lost cause over there. There's no hope for that one anymore. I don't care how low and dirty it gets. The Bible says, where grace, hallelujah. Listen, I need you to catch this. Where sin abounds, grace much more abounds. Are you catching that? It doesn't matter how ugly it is. It don't matter how worse it'll get. It doesn't matter when others leave you and you feel like you're all alone. God is still there with you.
Yes, He is.
A week and a half ago, every 7 minutes, my whole body would convulse in coughing. Not just my throat cough, the whole body was coughing. And I would just lay there. God, You're still merciful. I still will praise You. I still will praise You. There are going to be times in your life where God allow you to get to a place where it's just You and Him. Where it's just You and Him. You cannot call Dr. Phil or Oprah. Your HMO and your PPO. It's just You and God now. Your parents will love you to death. Your grandparents will love you to death. But that's all they can do is just love you and try to comfort you. But only God can heal you. Only He can heal you. Only He can touch the innermost being of your body. This is why you need His Spirit living in yourself. Because all He has to do is touch you. And He will make you whole. Oh, yes, He will. So this son had an issue. But look what verse 31 says. And he said to him, "Son, You are always with Me, and all that I have is Yours. It was right that we should make merry and be glad, for Your brother was dead and is alive again and was lost, and now he is found." Hallelujah. This is a time to give God a shout of praise. You see, since the Word of God is true, my friends, we can trust that the guidance and warnings He gives us in this illustration of the parables of a lost son are accurate. Yes. And should be heeded. Because these are all true scenarios with the issues of our heart. If we head down, my friends, the path this younger son chose, we can be certain too that we will meet a similar outcome. How many can remember before your heart was given to Christ, where at any moment it was either life or death? So let's break this down. Let's look at this. Let's look at the downward steps of the prodigal son. Number one, what came to him was desire. He desired to live in the culture. He desired that he wanted something different from the structure of his family. But the desire he had didn't glorify God. The desire he had did not come from the Word of God. It didn't come from the Spirit of God, but it came from his flesh. It came from his mind. He thought he was missing out. You know, when you were 18, you couldn't wait. And then you were 21, you couldn't wait. Wait for what? The young man's heart was filled with desire for, he wanted freedom. He had begun to view life in his father's house as very restrictive. And he wanted to get out from that yoke he thought that was bondage to him. Therefore, he asked his father for his whole entire inheritance. And despite the fact that an inheritance is normally received after death, his father was gracious to give it to him. Go ahead, take it, son. So he had, first of all, desire to live a rebellious life. And then he had a decision to make. What was the decision? Because shortly after he got his inheritance, he did his exit stage left. He took his money and he was gone. He decided to leave home to pursue desires that would be unhindered. I need you to catch this. One of Satan's goals is to convince us that having our own way and leaving God's restrictions behind is the beginning of real life. How many know that that's a lie from the pit? I thank God that God has given us boundaries to live by, truths to live by. Because when you start to understand the Word of God and start reading how much God loves us, it's not about do's and don'ts no more. You see, I can put 20 do's and don'ts, and every one of us will miss them all. Or some of them. Or one of them. Well, the Bible says, if you break one law, you've broken them all. But here's what God wants us to enter in. Because God knows our struggle. Even after a Christian, he knows our struggle. He wants us to fall in love with him. Because if you love him so much, then you will have better decisions. Go, you know what? That offends God. I'm not going to do this no more. No, God won't like that. I'm not going to do that no more. So now it becomes a relationship, not a do's and don'ts. Because if I tell you this is what you got to do when you leave here, what? Some of us will toss it all out. Who does that pastor think he is? I think I'm nobody. I'm just here called by God to feed you his word. I'm the mailman delivering the mail. It's up to you to read the mail. And so, once he made that decision, there was his departure. The son went away to a far country. I want you to catch this. When we read this, a far country, we think, where did he go? Around the world? Did he go from San Diego to New York? God showed me, it's not that far country, it's outside of the will of God. When you step outside of the will of God, you're in a far country now. It's all about the heart. It's where's your heart at? Is it with God or is it against God? You can't have it both ways. You can't have a Burger King life, having it my way. I want to have God's way. You know why? God has a better way. Did you know that his precepts, his concepts, his structure is so much better than ours? Our decisions is laced with crashing and burning. We're so good at that. And then when we do a face plant, and we're on our face on the ground, here comes Jesus with his spiritual spatula. And he scrapes us off from the ground. And then what does he do? He restores us. He renews us. He makes us whole again. And he says, I've done this so that you can fight another day. Because the battle doesn't belong to you. The battle belongs to the Lord. You see, departure, it could be a block away or across the globe. But it's basically outside of the will of God. And the devil stirs up discontent by pointing out what we are missing. You remember that? Oh, man, they're having fun over there. You know, it's almost like every other Friday night at our home, our next door neighbor. Man, they're doing what we used to do back when we was 20s. You know, the loud music and there's just... It's either Mexican music or hip-hop or whatever. But Yolanda and I, we say to ourselves, aren't you so blessed? We're not missing a thing no more. Because a lot of them, when it's all said and done, they're all calling for Earl. They're all worshiping the porcelain throne. Oh, let me just make it a little bit more clear. They're so drunk, they can't contain themselves no more, and out it comes. I don't miss that world, do you? You see, saints, he always omits the end result of a life of sinful indulgence. Sometimes he allows us to come to that place. Why? Because he still has the best intact for us. And so we must understand this. We must understand this, that as believers, we've been judged at the cross now. When we came to the Lord Jesus Christ, he judged us at the cross. We repented, and then he renews us. He washes us in the blood of the Lamb. Then he gives us his Holy Spirit. That's why the Bible says, repent and then be baptized. You know you have to repent first. And so there are steps with God. But for the unbeliever, this is why we who have the power of prayer, how we can intercede for our loved ones that don't know Jesus. The scripture is clear. It's found in the book of Hebrews. Look at this. It is appointed for men to die once, and after this comes the judgment. There is a judgment. And what we read about the prodigal son, God allowed him to judge his own heart. He gave him a mind to be saved, a heart of repentance, and he came running back to his father. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. And so after the departure set in, guess what else set in? Deception. He was deceived now. He was deceived of his own heart, and he was deceived of the culture of that day. Listen, I'm here to let you know, don't believe anything this culture has to offer right now. They want to take your kids and butcher them. And doctors are paying $175,000 per operation. My goodness. Would you have ever thought that they would be teaching that in our schools today? You can't even watch television no more. Two men in a tub. Come on. There's deception out there, and you need to know it. You see, the prodigal son fell for the devil's lies without considering the consequences that he would inevitably would follow. And he squandered all the money. He squandered it all. Look what it says in Luke 15 in here. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together, journeyed to a far country, and there wasted his possessions with prodigal living, meaning loose living. You see, life looked good at that moment. Oh, yeah, man. Some of you can dance. Some of you got still some, you know, remember those moves? Oh, man. Some of you will look in the mirror before you went to the club. Oh, come on. A pre-rehearsal. You see, life looked good at that moment for this prodigal son. And then once the deception took place, then he started wandering. The problem with living for our own pleasure is that the novelty soon wears thin. It wears out. When I got saved at the age of 30, I was tired of what I was doing. God had already was dealing with me to turn this all to him now. Your wife walked out on you. Your job's ready to terminate you. You can't go to sleep because you're up all night. Crystal methane all in my system. Oh, you guys don't know none of that, right? You see, my friends, the problem with living for our own pleasures is that the novelty will soon wear thin. It'll wear thin. The enjoyment we once experienced, it diminishes. As you and I, we will discover that sin's satisfaction is temporary. It's only but for a moment. And so in an attempt to regain that type of pleasure, we may wander from one experience to the next to discover that there is no lasting pleasure in sin in itself. It'll take you for a ride, pull over by a curb, and kick you out of the car. And now it's done with you. So it left him wandering, and then it left him wanting. I need you to see the progression here. See, this young man found soon that not only was his satisfaction wanting, but his funds had diminished. Listen, when you have no more money, you in trouble. How many been there before? Oh, come on. Especially in my BC years. And so now what you see in our day and time, you see a whole bunch of thugs out there. Now they just bust open a department store and take what they want. And you know what? The cops are not even saying nothing. They're letting them just take whatever. We're living in lawlessness times. Jesus said that in the last days, it would be like the days of Noah and Lot. What were the days of Noah? Very violent. Very wicked. And the days of Lot were sexual perversions. He had to send angels to come and get Lot out because the homosexuals wanted him. Oh, come on. Read your Bible. It's all there. If you're not reading your Bible, you don't know the account. Why did God have to flood Noah's day? Why did God have to fire and brimstone on Sodom and Gomorrah? Could it be, I'm just saying this, could it be our country has turned into Sodom and Gomorrah? I don't know, but it's looking much like that now. So here's God's grace. God has given us his promises, his word, so that we can raise up our family in the fear and admonition of the Lord. They don't have to be ruled by a culture that has forsaken God. You can't even talk about Jesus on the job. You can't talk about him in the schools. They've removed the Ten Commandments from the courts. And so, yes, and you can't have a Bible in school. And so there needs to be a change. Can I get amen? How many believe that there needs to be a change? That young man, that son, God allowed him to come to himself. Look at this. But when he came to himself, he said, "How many of my father's hired servants have bread enough to spare, and I perish with hunger?" Let me just say this. I would just want to say this. That at the age of 30, when I got saved, I have never wanted anything else no more. God has supplied all of my needs according to his riches and glory. And not only that, all the fumbles of my life, You know, we fumbled that ball. I feel, if you read the story of Job, how Job lost everything. But what was different between me and Job is Job was righteous. I wasn't. Yet God saw me righteous. And at the age of 30, he restored everything that I allowed to be taken from me. Come on, I blame me now. I don't blame God, I blame me. And 10 years later, he gave me the most precious wife that I could ever have wanted. But let me just say this. Before he blessed me with one of his daughters, I had to learn first to love him. Once I learned how to love him, he goes, okay, now I can trust you with one of my daughters. Not an uncircumcised Philistine. Because some of us can't wait. We're so impatient. We want to step out of the will of God. And I'm going to go look for my mate. You're going to find a wolf in sheep's clothing. Oh, they'll say praise the Lord with you all day long. And when you're asleep, they'll take off that mask. That's who I really am. But the prodigal son was welcomed back. So I leave you with this. Make a wise decision. Make a wise decision. I'm going to ask everyone to stand right now. Yes, I fue. Okay. Listen. I want to pray a corporate prayer over all of us. So I'm going to ask those who could all come out, come to the altar here. You guys all make it down to the altar. And when you guys all come to the altar, put a hand on each one's shoulder. First of all, I'm excited that I need you guys to listen to me real quick. For those of you that can make it out at 3 p.m. at my home, we're going to be having a baptism. And I don't want to put anyone on the spot, but I'm so excited. Raise your hands on those who are going to get baptized. Look at that. Listen, God has been waiting patiently that this day would come for both of you. Not only is he going to do a great and mighty thing today, but you could rely on his faithfulness from this moment on. Listen, he's been faithful to you before you have come to him, and he will remain faithful to you. So if you guys can make it out, 3 p.m., we're going to be baptizing these precious souls. But I want you all to know that each and every one of you is special before God. That God has the best still yet to come. And it's not about us performing.
The Bible says, repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remissions of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you, and to your children, and to all that are afar off, as many as the Lord God will call. And that's our exhortation to you. We have many ministries available here for you at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. For a complete list of them, and to download all of our messages and sermons, please log on to our website at www.acts2-38-39.com or email us at amazing_grace@cox.net. From all of us here at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship, may God bless you and thank you for listening.